Right now, your company is spending millions on cloud firewalls, like complex encryption algorithms and enterprise-grade antivirus software.
Oh, absolutely. Millions.
But, and this is the crazy part, a teenager sitting in your corporate lobby with a $5 microchip hidden inside a paper coffee cup can bypass all of that digital armor in exactly 28 seconds.
28 seconds. It's wild.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Our mission today is to really explore a silent, rapidly growing threat landscape that has completely exploded by the year 2026, which is this world of physical hacking tools.
Right, or what the industry calls pocket weapons.
Pocket weapons, yeah. Because while everyone has been obsessing over, brittle code and software bugs, an entire $500 million industry of covert gadgets has just emerged right under our noses.
The shift in how networks are compromised today is just staggering. I mean, the sources we're analyzing today map out a reality that most organizations are completely unprepared for.
Yeah, the numbers speak for themselves, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Roughly 33% of all data breaches now involve Internet of Things or connected hardware devices.
A third of them, that's huge.
Yeah. And on top of that, we're seeing a 277% year-over-year increase in the abuse of legitimate remote management tools. So the threat is no longer just malicious lines of code floating in the cloud waiting for you to click a bad link.
Right.
The threat is highly physical. It is in the room with you, and it exploits a blind spot that firewalls simply cannot see.
Okay, well, let's unpack this fundamental blind spot. Because to me, traditional cybersecurity is kind of like putting a massive deadbolt on your front door.
Sure.
But these physical hacking tools, they're like someone slipping a specialized tool right through the mail slot to unlock it from the inside.
That's a great analogy, yeah.
Right, because if we have all these incredibly advanced software defenses, AI that monitors network traffic, filters that block malware, why are attackers suddenly reverting to physical gadgets you can just hold in your hand?
It all comes down to the architecture of trust within an operating system.
Okay.
Firewalls and endpoint detection, they're trained to look for malicious software, right? Like rogue applications trying to run without permission. But an operating system inherently blindly trusts hardware.
Inherently trusted.
Yes. When a keyboard is plugged into a USB port, the computer doesn't ask for a security clearance or a password or, two-factor authentication.
It just accepts it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It assumes that if a piece of hardware is physically connected to the machine, well, a human being must be sitting there operating it. The software defenses are designed to protect the machine from the internet, not from the peripheral devices attached to its own motherboard.
So really, the easiest way to bypass a massive digital wall is simply to have the target willingly invite the threat inside.
Exactly.
We are talking about the modern Trojan horses sitting right in your pocket, and the sources specifically highlight a device that has completely revolutionized this space, which is the USB rubber ducky.
A rubber ducky, yes.
Now, at first glance, this thing just looks like a cheap, ordinary flash drive, right?
Right, but under the plastic casing, it is not a storage device at all. The USB rubber ducky is engineered to exploit that exact hardware trust model we just discussed.
Okay, so how does it work when you plug it in?
Well, when it's plugged in, the microcontroller inside the ducky sends a specific signal to the operating system, identifying itself as a human interface device, basically a keyboard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the operating system, which is designed to be user-friendly and plug-and-play, just immediately accepts it. But instead of a human typing, the ducky executes a pre-written payload called DuckyScript.
Wait, I have to challenge the actual viability of this. Because look, if I plug a random flash drive into my laptop and suddenly command prompt windows start popping up and my computer starts typing code on its own, I'm going to realize something is wrong and rip the USB drive out immediately.
Sure, you would.
So how is this actually an effective attack vector?
Well, you would rip it out if you had the reaction time of a superhero.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the rubber ducky doesn't type at human speeds. It injects those DuckyScript commands at an astonishing 890 keystrokes per second.
890, wait, per second?
Per second, in less time than it takes you to blink or even register that a window has opened on your monitor, the device has already opened a hidden terminal, downloaded a malicious payload from the internet, installed a backdoor into your registry, cleared the event log so there's no record of what it just did, and closed the window.
That is terrifying.
And your antivirus software just sits there, completely passive, because it thinks a remarkably fast human just typed a few administrative commands.
890 keystrokes a second. Okay, that completely changes the equation.
It really does.
And this isn't just theoretical red team testing either. The documents outline a real-world case involving a sophisticated cybercrime syndicate known as FIN7.
Right, the Best Buy scam.
Yes, they completely bypassed digital perimeters by running a fake Best Buy gift card scam. They physically mailed packages to employees at hotels and restaurant chains across the United States.
Just sent them right through the mail.
Yeah, and inside the package was a fake gift card, a USB drive, and a letter instructing the employee to plug the drive in to view their reward balance.
It's pure social engineering applied to physical hardware. I mean, the psychology is brilliant because it weaponizes human curiosity and, well, greed against corporate security policies.
Who doesn't want a free gift card, right?
Exactly. So the employees plugged those drives in, the devices registered as keyboards, and they executed their payloads in milliseconds before the employees even knew they were looking at a blank screen.
That is wild.
That single low-tech postal campaign exposed 45 million payment card records.
45 million?
Millions of dollars of corporate cybersecurity infrastructure was defeated by the cost of a postage stamp and a modified thumb drive.
But, I mean, attackers know that mailing out thousands of packages is risky, right? And eventually, people get trained to stop plugging in random thumb drives.
Hopefully, yes.
So the natural evolution here is moving to a device that doesn't trigger any suspicion whatsoever. Something we use every single day, multiple times a day. We have to talk about the charging cable.
Ah, yes. The OMG cable.
Right. The sources detail this piece of hardware, and the miniaturization of this device is just a true engineering marvel.
What's fascinating here is that an OMG cable looks and feels indistinguishable from a standard Apple Lightning cable or a USB-C cable.
It looks exactly the same.
It has the exact same dimensions, the exact same flexibility, the exact same plastic housing, but hidden directly inside the tiny metal connector that you plug into your phone or laptop is a custom printed circuit board.
Inside the actual plug.
Inside the plug. It contains a web server, a microcontroller, flash memory, and an active Wi-Fi module.
Okay, wait. So I plug my phone in to charge, and my cable just created its own Wi-Fi hotspot. Like, to put that in perspective for you listening right now, they have crammed a router, a computer, and a storage drive into a space smaller than a fingernail.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. In 2024, a security research firm took an industrial CT scan of an OMG cable.
Uh-huh.
And the imagery revealed how tightly packed the components are. Functionally, it still works as a normal cable. It charges your phone, it transfers your photos. But the moment it receives power, that tiny hidden Wi-Fi module powers up and creates its own secret wireless hotspot.
That's unbelievable.
So an attacker sitting up to 100 feet away can open their smartphone, connect to the cable's hidden network, access a web-based control panel, and start injecting commands directly into your machine as if they were sitting at your keyboard.
It's an invisible tether, and the implications of this go way beyond just stealing a password. This is an advanced evolution of a concept called juice jacking, right?
Yes, juice jacking.
Because I remember the FBI issuing a major warning back in 2023 telling travelers to completely stop using public charging stations at airports and hotels.
Yeah, that FBI warning was a direct reaction to this exact hardware democratization. Bad actors were either leaving compromised OMG cables plugged into airport kiosks, hoping travelers would use them, or they were physically altering the public USB ports themselves to intercept data.
So you think you're just getting a quick charge before your flight, and you're actually handing over your device.
Exactly. But what makes the OMG cable particularly devastating for security teams trying to investigate a breach is its self-destruct feature.
Wait, it self-destructs?
Yeah. If the attacker senses the victim is getting suspicious, or if they've finished extracting the data they need, they can click a button on their phone that physically fries the malicious firmware inside the cable.
It burns the evidence.
Permanently.
Yeah.
The hidden components are wiped, and it reverts to being a completely harmless standard charging cable. An IT forensics team could dissect it and find absolutely nothing malicious running on it.
That is deeply unsettling.
It really is.
But let's look at the bottleneck here. The USBs and the charging cables still require someone to physically hand us a poisoned apple, you know, or trick us into plugging it in.
True.
The attacker still has to interact with our physical environment. So if we don't plug anything in, we're safe, right?
Well, how did this threat landscape evolve past the need to touch the target device at all?
This is where the evolution moved into the airwaves.
Airborne assault.
Exactly. Proximity and wireless attacks. When you cannot trick the user into plugging something in, you target the invisible signals their devices are constantly broadcasting.
Which brings us to a gadget that absolutely flooded social media feeds a few years ago, the Flipper Zero.
The Cyber Dolphin.
Right, the Cyber Dolphin. It started as a Kickstarter project that raised nearly $5 million, and suddenly every tech enthusiast had one.
Yeah, the Flipper Zero revolutionized physical hacking, not because it invented new attacks, but because it consolidated a massive array of complex, expensive radio equipment into one approachable, pocket-sized device with a little video game interface. It looks like a Tamagotchi.
It does. It features antennas capable of interacting with sub-megahertz radios, RFID, near-field communication, and infrared. It essentially allows the user to see, record, and replay the invisible conversations happening between devices all around them.
So let's break down how that actually translates to an attack. In 2023, there was this widespread phenomenon dubbed the iPhone crash attack.
Oh, yes.
People were sitting on trains, completely minding their own business, and their iPhones would suddenly freeze and force reboot.
Right. The architecture of that attack relies on Bluetooth Low Energy, or BLE. Your smartphone is constantly listening for BLE advertising packets.
That's how it knows my AirPods are nearby, right?
Exactly. Or when an AirTag is in your bag. Well, a vulnerability in iOS 17's handling of those packets meant it didn't have a limit on how many requests it could process at once. So an attacker on the train with a Flipper Zero simply broadcasted thousands of fake BLE pairing requests per second.
Just flooding the phone.
Flooding it. The iPhone's processor became so overwhelmed trying to read all these invisible handshakes that it triggered a kernel panic and crashed the phone entirely.
Wow.
Apple eventually had to patch the operating system to throttle those requests, but it proved how a cheap gadget could selectively take down flagship hardware from across a room.
And the Flipper Zero caused such a panic that lawmakers actually overreacted. Like, the Canadian government actively tried to ban the device because politicians claimed criminals were using it to steal cars off the street.
Right, which highlights a really dangerous misunderstanding of the technology at the legislative level.
Right, it was a total myth.
Yeah, I mean, the Flipper Zero can easily intercept and clone the unencrypted sub-gigahertz radio frequencies used by older garage doors or, like, restaurant pagers.
Sure.
But modern vehicles use rolling codes. Every single time you press the unlock button on your key fob, the mathematical code required to open the car changes.
So catching one code doesn't help you later.
Exactly. Capturing today's code doesn't allow an attacker to unlock the car tomorrow. The ban was eventually abandoned once security researchers demonstrated that the tool couldn't magically bypass cryptographic vehicle security.
Well, it's good to know my car is relatively safe, but what about my laptop when I'm sitting at a coffee shop? If we're talking about wireless proximity traps, we have to look at a legendary penetration testing tool called the Wi-Fi Pineapple.
Ah, the Pineapple. It exploits a massive vulnerability in how our devices are programmed to prioritize convenience over security. It targets the way our phones and laptops hunt for internet connections.
I want to focus on this companion software the Pineapple uses called the PineAP dashboard because it visualizes something most of us never think about.
Yeah, it's eye-opening.
Right now, as you're listening to this, if the Wi-Fi on your phone is turned on, your phone is screaming into the void. It is actively broadcasting a list of every network it has ever connected to, asking, hey, is Starbucks free Wi-Fi here? Is the Delta Sky Club network here? Is my home network here?
It's constantly searching. And the Pineapple listens to those invisible probes. Once it hears what your specific device is desperately searching for, it executes what the industry calls an evil twin attack.
An evil twin.
The Pineapple instantly creates a fake network using the exact same name your phone is looking for, and it broadcasts that network with a stronger, louder signal than the legitimate router.
So the phone just connects to it.
Right, because your phone is programmed to automatically connect to familiar networks with the best signal strength. It drops its current connection and blindly joins the attacker's network.
Here's where it gets really interesting. It's like a predator learning the exact mating call of its prey, broadcasting it loudly, and waiting for the devices to just walk right into the trap.
That is the perfect analogy for an evil twin. And once your device joins that fake network, the attacker sits right in the middle of all your traffic. They can monitor unencrypted data, or throw up a fake captive portal, you know, like those hotel login screens, and harvest your corporate credentials when you try to sign in.
And this isn't just a trick for stealing passwords at a local cafe. In 2018, Russian GRU operatives deployed this exact methodology during a high-stakes intelligence mission in The Hague.
Yes, they targeted the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, the OPCW.
Right.
They knew trying to hack into the OPCW servers over the internet would trigger alarms. So they drove a rental car into the parking lot of an adjacent hotel. The trunk of the car was filled with close-range wireless interception equipment, utilizing the exact same evil twin principles as a Wi-Fi pineapple.
In a rental car in the parking lot.
Exactly. They were attempting to hijack the laptops of investigators inside the building by overpowering the legitimate corporate Wi-Fi signals. Dutch intelligence actually intercepted them in the parking lot, but it starkly demonstrates that the airwaves don't stop at the physical walls of a building.
That is wild. Nation-state spies in a parking lot launching wireless attacks, it feels like a Hollywood thriller. But the barrier to entry for this kind of disruption has completely collapsed today. We are looking at a landscape defined by the intense democratization of hacking.
This raises an important question, right? Because the escalation of offensive power versus the collapse of hardware cost is really the defining security crisis of 2026.
Yeah.
You no longer need the budget of a Russian intelligence agency to launch a wireless assault.
Not at all. Let's look at the ESP32 microcontroller. $5. For less than the price of a fancy coffee, anyone can order this tiny ship online, load it with open source firmware like a Duther, and completely paralyze the network.
The mechanics of the ESP32 attack are incredibly simple but devastating. It abuses something called 802.11 management frames.
Okay, what are management frames?
Think of management frames as the unencrypted administrative walkie-talkie channel for your router. It's how the router tells a device to connect or disconnect.
Oh, I see.
The $5 ESP32 simply gets on that administrative channel, impersonates the router's identity, and constantly yells disconnect at every phone and laptop in range.
So it forces everyone off the Wi-Fi.
It forces every device offline. Or it can use that same channel to broadcast dozens of fake network names simultaneously, which is known as beacon spam. It floods a user's screen with so much garbage data that they cannot even find their legitimate network.
So a teenager with $5 and a YouTube tutorial can now launch the kind of targeted disruption that used to require sophisticated engineering.
Exactly.
And if that teenager has a slightly larger budget, the advanced consumer arsenal is terrifying. The sources detail a device called the Bash Bunny. It looks like a slightly bulky flash drive, but it's actually a full Linux computer.
Yeah, the Bash Bunny is far more dangerous than the rubber ducky because it has multiple attack modes operating simultaneously. It can act as a keyboard to inject commands, a storage device to exfiltrate stolen files, and a dedicated network adapter to intercept traffic, all at the exact same time.
All at once?
Yes. At the DEF CON Hacker Convention in 2023, security researcher Darren Kitchen demonstrated how a Bash Bunny could extract saved browser passwords, Wi-Fi credentials, and local documents from a locked Windows laptop in just 28 seconds.
28 seconds? I mean, you get up to grab a coffee, someone bumps your desk, and your credentials have left the building before you even sit back down.
Yeah, it's that fast.
Then there is the Proxmark 3 RDV4, a $300 to $400 pocket lab for RFID cloning, which really makes me want to ask you listening right now. Think about your own office building. Are you still using those old tap-to-enter white plastic badges to get through the turnstiles?
If you are, your physical security is compromised.
Because someone with a tool in their pocket could bump into you in the elevator and clone it in less than a second, right?
Easily. Mm-hmm. While the Flipper Zero handles simple, unencrypted proximity cards, the Proxmark 3 is designed for complex cryptographic attacks. It can listen to the encrypted handshake between a card and a reader, analyze the keys, and clone the identity. Researcher Cody Brocious famously used similar hardware to exploit a vulnerability in RT hotel locks. By interfacing directly with the lock's hardware port, he was able to extract the cryptographic keys and create a MasterCard that could open millions of hotel rooms globally from a single piece of discarded plastic.
Millions of rooms. And the final piece of this advanced arsenal that the sources cover is the HackRF1. It's a software-defined radio.
Right. It can transmit and receive radio waves from 1 megahertz all the way up to 6 gigahertz.
That's a huge range.
It covers essentially the entire spectrum of consumer electronics. In 2023, security teams used a HackRF1 to spoof the GPS coordinates of a Tesla's autopilot system from 50 meters away.
50 meters? Wait, how?
Well, GPS signals are just weak radio waves traveling from space. The HackRF1 simply acts as a louder, local satellite, feeding the car false location data and tricking its navigation systems.
Okay, I need a lifeline here. I am feeling the weight of the information overload. If our cables are compromised, our Wi-Fi is lying to us. A $5 chip can knock us offline, and a radio can trick a car's GPS. How on earth do we protect ourselves and our organizations?
It sounds overwhelming, I know. But if we synthesize the data on defense, the cost-benefit analysis is actually incredibly favorable.
Okay, that's a relief.
The tools attackers use are clever, but the defenses against them are surprisingly affordable and highly effective. The real challenge is just awareness. According to the Verizon Data Breach Investigations Report, 68% of breaches take months to discover.
Months.
They take months because organizations are exclusively monitoring their cloud software, completely ignoring physical hardware anomalies.
Let's break down the practical solutions then. How do we defend against the USBs, like the Rubber Duckies and the Bash Bunnies?
The solution is a mix of policy and behavioral monitoring. First, you implement endpoint management to physically disable unused USB ports, or whitelist only company-approved serial numbers.
Okay, lock down the ports.
Right. But the real shield is Endpoint Detection and Response Software, or EDR. EDR monitors the behavior of the machine. Even if a computer thinks a rubber ducky is a legitimate keyboard, the EDR software is smart enough to know that no human being on Earth types at 890 words a minute, perfectly executing PowerShell commands.
It sees the impossible speed.
Exactly. It flags the impossible behavior and instantly kills the process.
Okay, and what about the charging cables? How do you stop an OMG cable from juice-jacking you?
You never plug a device into an untrusted source. You use your own cables. But for organizations, the cheapest defense is issuing USB condoms.
USB condoms?
Yeah, it's a tiny $2 adapter that you place on the end of your cable before plugging it in. It physically blocks the data pins inside the USB connection, only allowing the power pins to connect. It makes data transfer or command injection physically impossible.
Brilliant. What about the RFID cloning, the Proxmark in the elevator?
You have to stop using static, unencrypted proximity badges. Think of those old badges like a photocopied ID.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can copy it.
Right.
Upgrading to encrypted smart cards, like the MyFair Disfire system, changes the architecture. Instead of just showing a static ID number, the card and the door reader perform a dynamic, encrypted cryptographic handshake every single time they interact.
And is that expensive?
Not at all. Upgrading costs organizations roughly $2 to $5 per card, but it makes cloning exponentially more difficult.
Okay, and finally, the wireless airborne attacks. The pineapples and the $5 ESP32 chips disrupting the walkie-talkie channels.
Against the deauthentication attacks from an ESP32, you simply log into your router and enable protected management frames, also known as 802.11w.
Okay.
It is a completely free configuration change. It puts a digital lock on that administrative walkie-talkie channel, ensuring that only the actual router can tell a device to disconnect.
And against the evil twins and pineapple.
Mandatory VPN usage. Even if your phone connects to a fake Starbucks network, the VPN immediately encrypts all your traffic inside a secure tunnel, making the intercepted data completely useless to the attacker.
So, what does this all mean? It means the old way of thinking is entirely dead. Physical security and cybersecurity are no longer separate departments. The security guard at the front desk watching who enters the lobby and the network admin in the server room watching the firewall logs are fighting the exact same war. They are the exact same thing.
Absolutely. The perimeter has moved from the cloud to the coffee cup on the desk.
Yeah.
And, you know, we must reinforce the legal reality surrounding these tools.
Right.
Owning a Flipper Zero or a Wi-Fi pineapple is not a crime. They are legitimate tools designed for authorized red team testing, auditing, and education.
They're just tools.
But using them to intercept data or disrupt networks without explicit authorization violates federal laws like the U.S. Computer Fraud and Abuse Act or the CFAA. That carries penalties of up to 10 years in prison for a first offense. The democratization of the tools does not democratize the consequences.
10 years? Yeah, that's no joke. Which brings us to the end of our deep dive. Thank you for joining us as we navigated the invisible, wireless, and highly physical threats of 2026. We've seen how easily our basic human trust is weaponized by the objects we handle daily. A flash drive, a charging cord, a familiar network name.
We started this conversation by talking about a deadbolt on a front door. But the evolution of these pocket weapons forces us to confront a much larger paradigm shift.
How so?
Well, if a piece of plastic the size of a fingernail hidden inside a charging cable contains a web server, a router, and a microcontroller, then the very definition of a computer has evaporated. We're no longer just defending devices. We have to defend the invisible airwaves between them.
That's a profound shift.
It is. As these tools continue to shrink, how will we adapt our innate human instinct of trust? because we are rapidly entering a world where the physical objects around us, the things we can plainly see and touch, can simply no longer be taken at face value.
Something to think about the next time you plug in a warp port. Until next time, stay curious and maybe double check that charging cable.